You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Laughing on the outside, crying on the inside, that describes a lot of people. How about you?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Since our Lord sees us both ways, inside as well as outside, let's talk to Him about our needs. Dear Lord, we need renewing. We need changing. As we hear your precious promise, "Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out," give us the faith to believe it. And as we come to you, come to us through your word. Change us inwardly. Change us outwardly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone listening right now has a certain kind of lifestyle. You have chosen to live in a certain way. With most people, a great many decisions have gone into formulating their lifestyles. A certain number of ideas have been accepted, others have been rejected. And whatever a person really believes, what he is really sold on, that he tries to live. To that, he consciously attempts to conform his life. Years ago, when I was a boy growing up in Oklahoma, we used to gather around the radio for the Saturday afternoon football broadcasts. Every boy knew the name of Tom Harmon, the mighty star from Michigan. Right after the game, we were all out on the lawn organizing our own game. With the ball in your hands, you dreamed of moving like Tom Harmon. In fact, it wasn't unusual to announce to your teammates, "Tom Harmon with the ball." To conform to that image of a football player, that was the goal. Young people today try to pass like Roger Staubach, pitch like Nolan Ryan, serve an ace like tennis star Stan Smith, or handle a basketball like Rick Barry. The driving motivation? Conform to an ideal. That word conform is found quite a number of times in the Bible. And if you turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12, you find that word used right next to another very interesting word. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the original language of the New Testament, the word conform is the same word from which we get our word scheme. Engineers and technicians are especially familiar with the term schema. A schema is a technical layout of the components of a piece of equipment. Now, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Don't gear your life to the schema of the times in which we live. Don't adopt and live the value system of the world. Instead, be transformed. There is that other very interesting word. The original word in the New Testament for transform is the same word from which the word metamorphosis comes. A tadpole becomes a frog. A caterpillar becomes a butterfly. We call that metamorphosis. A dramatic change has taken place. And because of the change, there is an entirely different point of view. And that is the way to understand this statement in the Word of God. The life conformed to this world sees things only from man's point of view. The transformed life sees things from God's point of view. The Bible is filled with illustrations of these two contrasting views. Listen to these insights from just one book of the Bible, Proverbs. On the subject of wisdom, the view conformed to the world says, get all of the best thinking that you can. Absorb the sharp insights of men. Adopt as true only that which can be conclusively proven. But now the transformed point of view. How does man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. For the Lord grants wisdom. His every word is a treasure of knowledge and understanding. For the reverence and fear of God are basic to all wisdom. Knowing God results in every other kind of wisdom. On the subject of priorities, the worldview says, decide what you want in life. Pursue your own goals relentlessly. Decide what you want for yourself and go after it. Put yourself first. If you don't, no one else will. Proverbs says, in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct and crown your efforts with success. On freedom, the worldview says, I can do anything I want, anything goes with consenting adults, everyone decides for himself. Now God's point of view on the same subject. The Lord despises those who say bad is good and good is bad. Before every man there lies a wide and pleasant road he thinks is right, but it ends in death. Above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in your life. A man without self-control is as defenseless as a city with broken-down walls. On morality, the worldview says, you live only once. An extramarital affair takes a courageous and adventurous spirit. It will make you a wiser and broader man. God's point of view is this. The man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys his own soul. On the subject of how to be successful, the worldview says your determination, your drive, your ingenuity, your ability to take advantage of the opportunities. These are the keys. Listen to the Lord's comments on the subject. Commit your work to the Lord. Then it will succeed. We should make plans, counting on God to direct us. True humility and respect for the Lord leads a man to riches, honor, and a long life. On the subject of a full and a happy life, the worldview says, fame, fortune, power, and pleasure. Get your share of these things and you will have the good life. The transformed point of view is quite different. Jesus gives this very blunt account of one man. He was a very successful farmer, so much so that he had to build new barns to hold his crops. Viewing his wealth, he said to himself, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? And in Proverbs, these truths, don't be conceited, sure of your own wisdom. Instead, trust and reverence the Lord. Turn your back on evil. And when you do that, then you will be given renewed health and vitality. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. So how can the wicked expect to live a long and a good life? On the subject of what is best for our nation, what do we need in America? The worldview sounds something like this. What we need most in America are more job opportunities, a higher standard of living, better education. From God's point of view, this is what our nation needs. Where there is ignorance of God, the people run wild. But what a wonderful thing it is for a nation to know and to keep His laws. Let's move to the most crucial issue of all, the real meaning of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The worldview says, The death of Christ was one of those unfortunate incidents in history. He meant well, but he was misunderstood. It's just too bad that it all ended that way. But now listen to the Apostle Paul give the transformed view of the cross of Christ. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are being lost. But for us who are being saved, it is God's power. For the Scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then where does that leave the wise men, or the scholars, or the skillful debaters of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than men's wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than men's strength. Are you asking, well, how does this transforming take place? How does it happen? The best way to answer that is to watch God's transforming work in action. A man by the name of Nicodemus goes to see Jesus late at night. And here was a man who had gone the route of moral and religious discipline, but his life was still empty. The greatest sermon ever preached was preached that night by Jesus to just one man, Nicodemus. Some of the things he said to him were, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Do not be surprised, because I tell you, you must be born again. Oh, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior. We find that same Nicodemus there when Jesus was crucified. With loving hands, he helped Joseph of Arimathea take the body of Christ from the cross. Why the loving interest and the helping hands? He knew why Jesus had died, to give him forgiveness, eternal life, new life on this earth, yes, a transformed life here and now. There is this man named Matthew. He was a tax collector, and he ran his business like a tyrant. Every day he was achieving more of his goals of fame, fortune, power, and pleasure. He had conformed. The world's values were his values, and he was going after them. One day Jesus stopped by his office, looked in, and said, Follow me. Matthew got up and followed him. And as he followed Jesus, he walked out of a conformed life into a transformed life. And the next thing the Bible reports about Matthew is that he is at a dinner party. In fact, he is the host. As Scripture reports it, many tax collectors and outcasts came to that dinner. And the honored guest? None other than Jesus Christ. Matthew had been transformed, and he wanted his conforming friends to have the blessing of transformation in Jesus too. Is that still happening today, Christ transforming lives? A few months ago, a man stopped by our church office in Fort Worth. He had reached a new low in his life. He had lost his job, his wife had divorced him, taken the children, and married another man. He was living in Houston at the time and said that when all of this hit him, he decided that he really needed God. And so he went to church for 3 consecutive Sundays. Then he didn't go to church anymore. But he went out and intentionally found a job that required him to work on Sundays. I asked him why. He said, On those 3 Sundays, I saw so many happy husbands and wives, so many joyful children. It made me feel so bad over what I had lost, I just couldn't go back and look at all that happiness anymore. Now, he was looking at transformed lives, a transformation that Jesus gave his life to give to him. And to you. Nicodemus came as he was. Matthew came as he was. And so can you. See the emptiness of your life without God. See the deathly tragedy of the world's values. Then trust Christ as your Savior and Lord. Trust him for a whole new life. He has never failed anyone yet, and he won't fail you. Now, when you come to faith in Christ, you are instantaneously a child of God. You know that your sins have been paid for by Christ on the cross. You know that he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and Satan for you. Trusting Christ, you have forgiveness of all of your sins and the gift of everlasting life. Having sparked faith in your heart, the Spirit of God continues to work in your life. And he wants to work on everything, every thought, every action, every word, every goal, every value, every ambition, every attitude. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, urges Paul. And as long as the Christian lives on earth, the Lord is at work on that mind renewal project. He works powerfully through his word. Are you serious about transformation and mind renewal? Then fill your mind with the thoughts of God. And you are doing exactly that when you take time with the Bible, the Word of God, every day. Many Christians have the great habit of no Bible, no breakfast. What a great way to give the Lord the opportunity to work on your rested mind early in the morning before the world can move in with its pressures. Many Christians are memorizing not just individual passages, but sections of Scripture. And there is power in that, because there is the power of God's Spirit in his Word. Husbands, fathers, take the lead. Spend some time every day with your family around the Bible. All blessing after blessing will follow. Now the world is always going to be calling us back to its values. And the Lord tells us how to handle that in Ephesians chapter 6. Stand ready. Have truth for a belt around your waist. Put on righteousness for your breastplate, and the readiness to announce the good news of peace as shoes for your feet. At all times, carry faith as a shield, and with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation for a helmet, and the word of God as the sword that the Spirit gives. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants to give that kind of life to everyone. Place your trust in Christ today, and that victorious life is yours. Then you can join Christians everywhere in the confession of that New Testament writer, Titus. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, and wrong. We were slaves to passions and pleasures of all kinds. We spent our lives in malice and envy. Others hated us, and we hated them. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. It was not because of any good works that we ourselves had done, but because of his own mercy that he saved us through the washing by which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and new life. For God abundantly poured out the Holy Spirit on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.